don't want to stop that, okay? And it's a piece of music that's just the exact opposite of what we're going to talk about right now, but it comes from the same area, all right? And it's Hurricane Season from Trombone Shorty. And so it has something to do with it, hurricanes. And Trombone Shorty is in New Orleans, so I'm stretching it, but we really had to hear that, okay?
Nice. It's close enough.
Okay. All right. And I'm really pleased to have in the studio today, I'm losing my sense over this. All right, to have in the studio today the cast of a play called Kingdom of Earth, and it's a piece by Tennessee Williams, rarely seen. It's and I'm just going to read what people have written here. It's savage, sexually charged, and brutally funny, and it's a story of three outcasts trapped in an isolated, once elegant Mississippi farmhouse by an encroaching flood. And it was written in the late 1960s. Its metaphorical and taboo themes of race, gender, and human survival are still just as sharp today. And joining us to talk about all this is, all right, I'm gonna be fair, okay? Susan Priver?
It's Priver, actually.
Priver, okay. Susan Priver, who is the only female in the entire play, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. All right, Susan, welcome.
Thank you. Daniel,
is it Felix? Is it Felix or
DeWeldon? Yeah,
DeWeldon.
Daniel,
okay.
Felix DeWeldon.
Okay,
yeah.
Daniel. Okay, I was going to say Felice. I was going to say.
Okay. I like how you say that.
Yeah, right. I lived in New Orleans for a while. Anyway, and tell people, well, your character is.
Yeah, I'm Lot Ravenstock, what is the brother, half brother to Chicken, who's played by Brian Burke, and just married Susan Priver, who is playing Myrtle. And so my character, from what I understand, is something of a depiction of Tennessee Williams himself in the play near the end of some of his writing, where he was coming out in the play with his homosexuality and really forging forward in a way that I think society hadn't seen at the time, which we now, everyone is saying, it's very relevant to today and acceptable. So I think that's why the play is catching wind. But yeah, just playing... coming home to, from Memphis with this lady that I just married and trying to finagle to get my property back from my half-brother that I gave to, yeah.
And your half-brother is sitting next to me, okay?
He is.
Brian Burke, who plays Chicken. And folks, I want you to know, he came into the studio today and said, are you freezing chickens back here?
You know, I actually didn't even make that connection between how cold it is in here and my character's name. But, yeah, that's true.
Well, tell people a little bit about your character.
Well, my character, his name is Chicken. He got that name because, you know, he would sit on the roof when there's floods with the other chickens while everybody else would flee, like, you know, and go up into the hills to high ground. And he's kind of like a sort of like a Stanley Kowalski type of character in this play. And Tennessee, you know, had that a lot in his plays. And he's a bit of a brute. And he is rumored to have some black blood in him. So he's a bit of an outcast because of that. And as it turns out, his mother is like either half black, or Tennessee doesn't really say exactly, but he does sort of infer that his mother is either half black or a quarter black. So he's got black blood in him, which is a big thing in the play because the play is about – one of the things the play is about is racism in the South during this time.
Mm-hmm. Susan, I want people to hear about your character because no matter what happens there, you're there in the play. So
yes.
Let's talk about that.
Yes, I'm bounced around by my newly married husband, which I married on TV. when I got chosen out of a long line of women, because I had nothing better to do, because she's sort of an unemployed ex-fan dancer, I get picked out of a long line of women in Memphis to be queen for a day. It's actually the Take Life Easy Queen. And on that show, I meet my new husband. I fall in love with him immediately. And I fall in love with him because this is a very desperate character. She's on her last leg. She's probably not going to get a job dancing in a club anymore. She dances at the Dew Drop Inn. That's one of the places she dances in. And she's had a tough life. She's had four grades of school, and the play between, or what happens between these two brothers, and how I'm tossed between them to actually get the ownership of this house from Chicken, because my husband, Lot, does not want this man to take over this house because he has black blood in him. So I'm tossed like a ping pong ball between these two men, and the vulnerability that has to come out is very inherent in all of Tennessee Williams characters. There's a bit of Blanche in her, but she's a little more low class, less educated.
But there's also, I mean, there's something too that from the very beginning, there's a way that your character also walks through the world that is very, it's very endearing, mm-hmm. because it's very trusting.
And, she is.
Yeah, she is. And she doesn't, there's not like a lot of pretense about her. There's not, you know, whereas, all right, I'm going to tell you, Daniel, your character, and you do it really well, man. You do it, and I was watching you afterwards out in the, because I couldn't stay around for it immediately after the opening night. And I was like, I had to get somewhere, but it was sort of, I was watching it, and it takes you time to actually unravel from that character too, because I imagine it would take some. I mean, really, you become that character, and it's mm-hmm. really, it's very, very heavy because the character is, put it this way, there's very little sympathetic about him, mm-hmm. you know, and it's hard to play, I would imagine, to play somebody who has, you're thinking like most people are going to be going, most people that you want to actually like you are going to be going, no, 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 and people that you don't want to like you are going, yes, yes, let's see more of this guy. But it was really well done. I mean, very heavy because you really, you become a schemer and a plotter, but who's also got sort of destiny plotting against you as well.
Yeah, it's been a real challenge, even with the director of the play, and trying to make him likable in ways of the masculinity before you actually see him turn. And some of the challenges for the character for me early on were I needed to find the sensitivity of the character, but I wasn't trusting enough early on to let that come out later, so you actually see the character unravel. So when you see the change that go, where you actually see me transitioning into who I really am, being transgender, having this Oedipus complex with my mother, and all this stuff that's going on with the characters, that it starts. It really is an extremely challenging character in that respect. With what you're saying, yeah.
You know, one of the things that really gets me too, though, and it has to do with you too, Brian, which is very much so, actually. Your character, you know, you come in, and like you said, it's Stanley Kowalski, but it's more than that too, because your character actually, in a way, is stepping back and is analyzing things, and is actually, you know, there's a way that you actually have an understanding of what's going on, including understanding that if there's going to be a hurricane, that they're going to blow the dam, and you're going to want to be on the roof, you know, whether it's with other chickens or with other people. But you also treat people as people. You know, you treat people with a dignity, a certain amount of dignity that you feel they deserve until they show you that they don't deserve it. And to me, that was really – it was very well done because, you're a character who is sort of walking around and you've got calloused hands and you're just the Joe that works in the dirt and you're, you know, and all this stuff. But you actually – there's a lot in your head that's going on that actually I think captures something that is the polar opposite of your character, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. In fact, like in reading the play over and over again and rehearsing the play, you know, I sort of came to the conclusion that Chicken, even though he's a brute and he's he's lived on a farm all his life, that he has he's a very authentic person because of this, and he's a very intelligent person. And I think my opinion is that he's the most intelligent character in the play, even though he is a brute. And he has the most insight into what's going on in the world that he's living in and in the situation with Lot and Myrtle when they come to try to steal the place from him.
And he has a lot of heart. He has a lot of heart. And I'm not saying in terms of just his desire to keep on going, but he has a heart that opens up to people. And I think, Susan, like your character is someone who's really looking for that, you know? And
she's all heart.
Yeah, she's all heart, and she's looking for someone who actually can match that in a way that
Well, I don't think she came here looking for that. I think she came
because she thought she had it.
I think she thought she had it. Yeah, she gets a little bounced around, not knowing what's going to happen. And that's been there's been challenges with that.
Uh-huh. But it's interesting too because you know part of the thing is I know people said that this is a very hard play to deal with and it's one that's rarely seen, and you know. Daniel, when you got this character, because you play this character really well, you know, you really do. And
thank you.
And you spend a lot of the time up on the loft, right?
Right.
But it's still your constant presence. You're a constant presence there, and it's constantly there's that sort of there's a weight that sits on the play, you know, based on your character.
Yeah, I was going to say I share with colleagues and friends all the time that I've never worked on Tennessee Williams before, and it's been the most challenging character I've ever played, and. he's relative. His writing to me, he's like a Southern Shakespeare. There is no place to hide in the writing. That the subtext is actually on the line, as they say in Shakespeare, that there's no, you can't fake it. You can't, there's nowhere to hide in the play, and it has to come out. And so in order for me to survive every night doing the play, I've got to stay so committed beyond just listening, you know, is the thing for actors to always be listening, but I have to be feeling because otherwise I'll get lost. And so it's kind of a survival to really stay in the world. I mean, there's times when I'm upstairs that sometimes I'm hallucinating that I'm actually in the world, you know, hearing downstairs and unconscious reminiscence of things in my past. It's an incredible experience.
Mm-hmm. Both of you guys, and we have time for just this one last question, but both of you guys, actually, Susan, I'll start with you. There's something similar with your character in terms of, you know, the seeking and the looking and the look, you're actually, you know, you come with a certain, well, you know, and I think actually maybe it's just me with a big heart, but it's sort of, you seek actually, your character is actually someone who you want to embrace, you want to see be happy, because you don't see your character as, I didn't see your character as like this, a conniving person who's trying to get ahead.
She's not at all.
No, but she's somebody who is looking for love, eventually finds it, but not in the places that she expected, so.
Correct, mm-hmm. Yeah.
What did you feel about that?
What did I feel about that? Well, the rehearsal process in finding this character is sort of like what Daniel said. It's so revealing of one's own vulnerability to just respond to things that maybe aren't receptive to one's own heart. It's almost like she comes with an open heart on a platter, and then it gets tossed around by these two people. I didn't expect to come in with that, so it was very hard during rehearsal period because I had to keep that heart open for the play to work. Mm-hmm. If she was conniving in any way, then you'd have, with the two of them together conniving, it would not work at all. You know, it just, the play wouldn't work. So mm-hmm. I think Myrtle is really the heart of the play, actually, mm-hmm. in that way, because she's tossed between these two people.
No, I think Chicken is the heart of the play.
You know, I was just going to say.
Well, maybe. No. I mean, they all have heart. They're all misfits, and they're all super desperate.
Oh, no. Stand your ground. Come on, stand your ground.
I'm the lead in this play, not Myrtle. No, I'm just kidding.
No, but there is a point. There is a point, though, with your character, because your character, you come in, and it's the surly guy that everybody knows somewhere back in your life, the surly guy who really doesn't give a damn about anything,
right?
In terms of, you know,
the bully,
yeah, or not so much a bully, but just like a guy who's like, look, I've been given a hard road to hoe, man. This is like, you know, this is like not good, you know, and just like you're scraping around trying to survive, and then you're confronted with the situation, but your humanity is also never disappears, and I want to talk about that in the 2 minutes we have left.
Okay,
your humanity never disappears.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Chicken is a character in the play that has gone through, like, a lot of trials and tribulations. And he's always sort of been under, like, the thumb of the community that he lives in, how they look at him and how they look down at him. And he does maintain, you know, his integrity, his authenticity, and his heart. So, you know, he's a very resilient type of character.
And I have to say, even though he really talks a lot of crap about the people, about what they're, you know, initially how he's assessing them and all this stuff, there's a certain humanity that he refuses to give up on in terms of people, where you see the humanity in both your brother and in Myrtle. You know, it's sort of this.
Yeah, absolutely. And also he's very non-judgmental in a sense of like of Lot's homosexuality. And he kind of teases him about it, and he has sort of a certain attitude with him about it, but he doesn't really judge him about it. He accepts that he's a homosexual. He accepts that he's, transgender. And also Myrtle is a very flawed character, too, and he accepts her for what she is.
Myrtle
as well.
Doesn't judge either. Otherwise, she wouldn't have married him, and she wouldn't have fallen in love with him.
Yeah, she marries a homosexual, and she falls in love with an animal.
With a chicken,
With a real chicken.
We got to talk, man. Yeah. Anyway, we only have about 50 seconds left, so I just want to let people know the play is running Thursday through Saturday and 2 p.m. on Sunday through August 14th. That's this coming Sunday. It's at the Odyssey Theater. That's 2055 South Sepulveda Boulevard in Los Angeles. And, folks, you should definitely see this play. Right? Go to the odysseytheater.com, and you'll be able to pick up your tickets, see the times, all that stuff. But it's really – it's a great play. The actors are tremendous in it, and it left me, like, really, really enjoying it. So thank you all for
joining.
Thank you.
Cheers.
All right, you're listening to The Michael Slate Show, and I want to thank everybody who was involved in the show today, Dred Scott, the cast from Kingdom of Earth, and each and every one of you for tuning in. I also want to thank my assistant producer, Henry Carson, my production assistant, Jeff Pryor, Teddy Robinson for being my board op, my steady board op every week, and I always don't put him in, but I'm putting him in today because I don't want to forget it, because he's not going to be bored up if I don't do that. He's going to make all kinds of torturous things for me, okay? No, Teddy's not like that. He'll still love me. Anyway, we're going to go out now, and we'll talk to you again next week. If you want to write to me, you can at mslate@themichaelslateshow.com, all right? So talk to you again next week. And this is Rock El Casbah, okay? So, all right, so check this out. It's the remake of a Clash song.